This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is a very special guest, Roy Eliyahu, who is the CEO and co-founder of Salt.Security. If you go to his website, it's www.salt.security. Roy, welcome.
Hey, Gary. Thank you for having me.
So Salt is one of the biggest innovators in a unique area of cybersecurity, which I find extremely critical. It reminds me a lot of a company that was doing auditing of source code, but totally different, called White Hat Security, which was acquired by NTT. And they said, you know what? Most source code is poorly developed. We've got to secure the code. But most code gets wrapped up and bundled into application programming interfaces, APIs. Roy, tell us how you innovate in the area of securing APIs.
Yes, that's a really good question, Gary. The reality is that APIs today are not what APIs were in the past. It's completely different, right? In the past, you had very few APIs. The type of data being exposed to APIs or APIs exposing is very limited. And they really rarely change, right? You had a waterfall development approach that you have one or two releases a year. Today, it's completely different, right? You have thousands of APIs in every company, rapidly growing. You have much more sensitive data because everything is digital, right? And due to COVID, it's even got more and more kind of the digital transformation is accelerated. And all of our end APIs are changing very dynamically, right? Everything is moving to CI/CD, agile development. So, you know, a good analogy, if you think about it, past APIs are like a single door and a window. You have a guard protecting both of them, and they're there. Today, you have thousands of doors and windows, and they're continuously changing. So we realize that today's or the past solution, like a WAF or gateways or other solutions that were developed in the early 2000s, were not going to be designed to protect the dynamic nature of APIs and how they evolve.
So on that note, you know, a lot of vendors today are worried about securing their applications. And I've heard of, you know, RASP, where you wrap it. There's mobile apps, there's HTML5, and people are worried about, I didn't write great code, I've got some vulnerabilities. If you just hit a magic button, someone's going to fix the software and harden it. But that's not really how it works, is it?
No, it's definitely not how it works, right? There is no magic button to protect or secure or to fix the code of an API. The reality that in APIs, about, I would say, 80% of the problem is in runtime and detecting, malicious attackers, detecting rogue APIs and shadow APIs, be able to respond to all of these attacks. And there is about 20% you can address already in the build and design phase. So as you're building, designing the API, test the API, you can eliminate, you know, about 20% probably of the security issues. At runtimes, you need to have a component that's able to go and understand the behavior of your APIs, be able to detect malicious attackers, try to manipulate the API, try to get access to data. It's not something you can solve on the code level already in the design or build time.
So Roy, you know, APIs are highly vulnerable. A lot of people have written code that can't be patched or fixed. It may take months before there's a new version of that, you know, API that is recoded and hardened. How are you helping resolve that problem? I'd say there's what we call a window of vulnerability that buys exploiters time to exploit the APIs. What are you doing to shorten that or tighten that window or close those doors against exploiters?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great question, Gary, right? So we at Salt, we have three components to address the API security problem. We have, first of all, the discovery component that, first of all, tell companies and discover where they have APIs and what type of sensitive data going through those APIs, where it's being exposed. Because today, most organizations have about 40% of their APIs are actually shadow APIs. They don't know about them. They're not being documented. And the first step is knowing their attack surface. On the vulnerability side or the attack side, we have real-time prevention that baseline normal behavior of their APIs. We use our core IP for that, that leverage ML and big data to learn what's legitimate behavior of those APIs. And then in runtime, to be able to detect all these threats, correlate them back to the original attacker, and then take actions such as blocking the attacker. And lastly, helping them improve their API security posture. So tell them upfront what type of vulnerabilities and gaps they might have in their API throughout the lifecycle of the API. And back to your question, so even without fixing a certain vulnerability, SALT will still be there at runtime, be able to detect the attackers early in the recon phase. So even before they're able to exploit the vulnerability, as they're doing the initial probing, and we'll be able to take action and block them very early in this process, not when they are already exploiting a vulnerability, days or hours before they're even finding one.
So Roy, web app firewalls and other technologies, including RASP, you know, wrapping apps, clicking the magic button, they don't work. What is salt.security doing that works to secure those APIs? And there's so many APIs out there, can you secure them all?
Yes, absolutely secure them all. That's really our mission. But the reality, as you said, right, they won't work because API gateways or WAF or these technologies are looking at APIs as isolated transaction. They are sitting in line as a proxy, looking at every transaction and look for the SQL injection, the cross-site scripting of the world. Things that you can detect without having any context, understanding the behavioral business logic. We realize at SALT that it's impossible to solve the API security problem with a proxy-based architecture when you have a very narrow view. That's why we shifted to a completely different architecture that is a big data-based and AI-based architecture. We're able to collect all of the data. We have our big data engine using our core APIs that is ML-based to have the full context of the API. So instead of seeing only one API transaction at a time, we are seeing all users, everything they did a second ago, a minute ago, an hour ago, even a day ago, be able to correlate all of these activities to have the full picture, the full context, understanding what is normal behavior, how this user deviates from normal behavior, and how it's related to past activities by the same user. That's what's needed in order to detect all these top threats, where other solutions can only see one transaction at a time and basically will not be able to detect the top threats for APIs today.
So Roy, how easily are you deployed, and are you eavesdropping on network traffic? Are you watching apps as the APIs are called? How are you deployed?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great question, Gary. So our deployment is super easy. It takes for us about a few minutes to get up and running. And what's really unique, we are not in line. So we are not gonna be a proxy that will create latency or potentially disrupt the service. We have about 30 plus different integrations that we can collect API data from load balancers, API gateways, containers, really anywhere in the environment, without agents, without any network changes, very simple, be able to collect this data and leverage existing infrastructure to do enforcement and blocking. So that's our way to have holistic coverage, as we call it. So as companies have multiple environments, right? They have on-prem, they have cloud, maybe multiple clouds, multiple technologies. We can fit into all of those within a few minutes per environment and get their complete coverage for all their environments.
Is it plugging a VM machine or some software or hardware onto a SPAN port? And how are you deployed, given everybody since COVID-19 is, you know, moved to the cloud? You know, we went from 3% working from home to over 47% and growing. Pretty much almost 50% of the people are working from home and growing, and I don't think that's going to change. So it's all SaaS and cloud now, which means, of course, more API calls, more remote API calls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question, Gary. So the reality, there is not only a single way to integrate. We have dozens of different integration. It can be through API gateways. It can be through some network components. It can be through native capabilities in the cloud. It can be through containers and Kubernetes. So we have a lot of different options based on the diverse technologies and environments our customers having. And based on that, we can have multiple integration points in a single customers, but everything feeds to our big data engine that do all of the magic, right? So you can have more and more collectors, but then you have a centralized control plane for all of your environments, of all the customer environments and APIs in one place.
Do you have an example of the potential impact of an attack against an API? And also, you know, there may be naysayers saying, well, I only call 50 APIs. This can't be a big deal. And, you know, can you find out they're actually calling 500 APIs and it is a big deal? And, you know, give us an example of how APIs are exploited so everybody listening can go, maybe I am a target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think, first of all, to say, when people say API, sometimes they have different definitions of API. When we say API, we mean any type of HTTP-based communication that exchange data in your organization, it's an API, essentially, right? Something that someone requests for data and get data back. So it's any type of API, right? REST, SOAP, anything that you have. And the impact is huge because most API breaches ends up in data exfiltration. So the ability of one user, one authenticated user, right? And I'll say something here. Most API attacks are coming from authenticated user. I'm logged in to my banking app, can see my own data. If I'm an attacker, I can find a vulnerability to exfiltrate all the financial data of all the users of the bank, all the customers of the bank. Can be same applied to retail, to SaaS companies, really across any vertical, automotive companies. So data exfiltration of the entire customer base, that's one big impact. And we see that results in dollar value means we see typical cases over $100 million of impact, depends on their customer base. The second one can be account takeover as well. So the ability to take over accounts of customers and be able to log into their accounts using different API vulnerabilities. And the third one is denial of service. And I'm not talking about just DDoS and layer 3, layer 4 DDoS. There is today vulnerabilities with few API calls on a single device. You can actually take a service down using logic or in business logic vulnerabilities that can consume the resources of the server. So all that are definitely big impacts for companies that anyone that have a few days that target a certain company, you don't need to be an expert to hack an API. That's the reality of that.
Now, you even talked about shadow APIs, which I haven't heard that term before. Tell us a little bit more about that and also why security teams should be so worried about API security. Should it really be, you know, on the forefront of their mind? Should it be as high as I need a firewall, I need antivirus, and I need API security?
Absolutely. Look, today, and I'll talk about shadow APIs in a second here, but today APIs are the door to every company crown jewels, right? The things in the internet are public. Anyone can start probing them. And behind them is the most sensitive data of customers, right? Of their, of companies, their customers' data, their partners' data, everything is exposed through APIs, right? If you're a financial organization, you can transact money through API. You can access financial data. You can do action change data. It's really disruptive. If you find a vulnerability in the API, it can be a huge impact. And we see all that in real cases for the company. And you don't need a user interaction. You don't need someone to click a link over an email like a phishing. You don't need someone to plug a USB to a computer. No, only thing that an attacker can just decide, I'm attacking X company and start doing that. It's there in the internet. You have a door, you just need to try to open it in different ways and eventually it will be open.
APIs are 724, 365 doors in the cloud nowadays.
Absolutely, right? It's the easiest way. Attackers are always looking for the easiest way to get in. And if they have a door that is just there, doesn't require any special assistant, nothing special, just start probe and attack the API looking for vulnerabilities. And guess what? APIs are extremely vulnerable. So it's not really hard. A lot of companies are probably experiencing attacks on a daily basis. They're not even aware of that. We see in our customer base, we enter and deployed, and they suddenly see attacks on a daily basis that they're never seen before in any solution, not their WAF, not their API gateways, not any other security solution they have, not their SIEM or Splunk or anything like that. They suddenly discover like the entire, like the bottom part of an iceberg that they missed for so long. And talking about, you know, going back to your original questions about shadow APIs and discovery, it starts by even understanding your attack surface. Companies, do they have manual documentation, try to understand where they have APIs? The reality, developers are not as enthusiastic about documenting their APIs, and it's getting very hard given that you have many changes to APIs. So typically we see about up to 40% of APIs are not being documented in completely shadow APIs, completely unknown APIs. So the first aha moment for them is, whoa, we didn't know we have all of these APIs and all of these data going through our APIs. That's the very basic step for security.
Roy, many of these APIs have privileged access, is what you're saying.
Definitely many of the shadow APIs we see has or exposing sensitive data. We typically see a significant percentage of those APIs are actually important APIs that protect or the gateway to very sensitive data.
Now, the development team has one vision and mission, you know, get the code out fast. And the security team has another vision and mission, which is reduce risk and slow things down so I can audit and harden and tune up and patch. How does Salt Security help like find a balance so that the security team and the development team actually can get along while you're helping them, you know, find these weaknesses in their APIs?
Mm-hmm. You are exactly spot on, right? It's exactly the conflict of interest almost. And in our mission statement, we say that we make it safe for companies to innovate faster, right? That's exactly part of our mission. So how do we do that? One, everything in Salt is automated. There is no any single configuration in Salt. We don't need swaggers, we don't need documentation, we don't need the code, we don't need developers to educate the solution about how it's working or have manual policies like in a WAF or gateways. We just plug into the data, everything happens automatically, we adapt to all the changes. So developers can develop as fast as they can, innovate as fast as they can. And Salt will automatically learn throughout the life cycle of the API and be able to do everything out of the box. More than that, we will discover and document all the APIs automatically in very granular details for them. So we will remove the burden for developers to do what they hate the most is documenting APIs. So we can actually take and reach that, make sure it's up to date, and kind of automate all of the things that they don't like to do. And on the flip side, we'll give back the control for the security teams that now APIs are something developers owned and they need to try to understand after the fact what they did, if they follow best practices or not, you know, what's changing their APIs. So we give them all that out of the box without the expertise and having the knowledge of the API and how exactly it works, because Salt is doing that for them.
On that note, with all this automation, is there a chance of a false positive or a developer arguing against your results? And how do you handle that?
That's a really good question, right? Because this field in general, not API security, like even app security, if you think about a WAF, it's a field that's full of false positives. And the false positive reason mainly is because lack of context. When you have no context, everything can be either legitimate or malicious. It's all the way that we eliminate false positive almost completely to the point that customers in absolute numbers, not even in percentage, in absolute numbers rarely experience these events is because of our big data and our context-based architecture. So our context-based API analysis architecture that have the full picture of everything that is going on through the APIs, not alerting only on a single event that happened from a user, a single transaction. We correlate all of the events back to the original user, back to the original attacker. And once you have the full picture, you get really accurate. So let me give you a quick analogy, right? If you see someone try to open a door and it's locked, an equivalent to an API, it might be a legitimate attempt or a malicious one. But if the same person tried to break the window an hour before trying to unlock the door, the second action get completely different context. It's mm-hmm. Solved because we have the full context. We are watching all their activities over time. So we know their true intention, that it's true malicious versus just an API change or just an abnormal one-off event. That's how we reduce by 96% the number of alerts given to a customer and also having only actionable real alerts that is truly malicious.
So is there a strategy if I don't yet have Salt Security that I should start implementing right away? Or is there something I can do to convince my CISO or CIO that I need Salt? Like, what would you say are like the three best practices in dealing with managing my APIs right now, even if I have to manually start the process?
Yes, I think that first of all, the OWASP API top 10 is a great source. And again, not the OWASP top 10, the OWASP API security top 10, which is dedicated for APIs. It's a great source to start with. Looking at the list, covering the list and thinking how we addressed all of these, how we addressed all the APIs that are undocumented, that we don't know about them, about classification of sensitive data. How do we detect today all of these attack cases that are essentially what caused the incident and breaches for in the market in the last 2 years? We also have a great source. If you go to our website, you can download more technical sources about the top threats, the top attacks in more details, examples. So you can kind of educate and kind of examine if your existing tools can do that or not. I think that would be a good point to start with.
Okay, my tough last question, who can afford you?
Yeah, so definitely we have in our customer base, you will find companies from Fortune 20, so 100,000 plus employees, up to 200 employees in a company. So we have the entire range because all of them have APIs and all of them need to protect those APIs. So it's definitely a large spectrum. And because our solution is completely automated, so even companies without a big security team, they have maybe one person versus 200 person or 500 person security team, we fit in this entire range. And our pricing, our model help to correlate the value they're receiving and their scale and size to make sure that they can afford given their stage. So I would not worry about specific price.
Sounds good. So mid-market in any vertical, making a lot of API calls, writing a lot of code, all the way up to the Fortune 1000 or Fortune 20.
Exactly.
Sounds great. Roy, is there anything else you want to share with our viewers?
Yes, I think that one of the things that I'm keep hearing that people are kind of aware of the problem or looking into that, and thinking, why should I do it now and not in a quarter, in 2 quarters, in 3 quarters, right? And not have the urgency to address this today. So I want to say this is probably the biggest thing that needs to be addressed today versus the future, because if you look at all the reports, all the incidents, right? Gartner saying that by 2022, API security or API attacks are going to be the largest attack vectors. All of the digital aspects of every company is through APIs. And the problem is growing continuously bigger. And the later you're going to address it, the harder it will be. The faster you start is the easier to build the best practices to protect it. And not getting to the point, it's too late. So I would advise to start looking into it today versus later that it will be much harder and perhaps too late.
So Roy Eliahu, CEO and co-founder of Salt.Security, you've taught us today something very interesting, which is pretty much all of our companies, government agencies, any of us are kind of in a Titanic ship. We think we've cleared the iceberg, and underneath the water is the API issue we haven't even thought about. And it's probably the biggest part of the security problem, and we really don't want our ship to bump into that. We've got to get Salt Security as soon as possible, assess our API position, find these 40% shadow APIs, harden our APIs, tune up our system, and avoid the biggest problem, which is the data breaches and the cyber criminals who decided to target us at API level because it's such an open door, 7/24/365.
Exactly.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.